My name is Jerry, and this is the Wild Eye Podcast. Tracking gorillas in Bwindi. Hello, everybody. So, Andrew just got back from hosting a gorilla tracking trip in Uganda's Bwindi National Forest. And in this episode, he's going to break down what it's really like getting close to mountain gorillas. From, for example, a three-week-old baby born with tourists watching to 400-pound silverbacks walking past you like you're not even there. He covers the reality versus the expectations of the experience, why a 70-200mm lens is essential, how the guides prioritize gorilla welfare over the perfect shots, and that crucial moment when you need to put the camera down and just experience it. So he also shares some insights from spending time with the Batwa people and learning the local culture. Now, if gorilla tracking is on your bucket list, this is an episode that I'd recommend. Grab a cup of coffee and enjoy.
So don't feel that there's any pressure whatsoever.
I got a margarita, I'm fine.
I'm rolling, by the way.
No pressure.
Okay, cool. So we have just wrapped up four nights. Well, tonight will be our fourth night of time here in Bwindi. We're sitting around the fire here at Bohoma Lodge, looking out onto the mountains. We've got great blue turacos calling in the distance. And we've had three mornings of gorilla trekking. First time for all of us, and having spent 21 years in the conservation and guiding industry, it's not often that I have firsts. First off, I want to say that it was an absolute privilege hosting you guys for this.
Yeah, it was really special.
It was very
special. With you, no question.
And we've had some amazing encounters. So for someone that's listening that maybe is thinking about trekking gorillas, because it is a bucket list experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys might have come with some expectations, some hopes. Talk us through how the last three treks have played out in terms of what drew you to the gorillas and what you've got from this experience.
Wow, there's so much.
It's hard
for me to put it into words. I think we tried to come with low expectations. We didn't try to preset what we were going to see, but we certainly hoped to get close to them. That happened, wow, in a whole different way than I thought it would. I didn't imagine that we would be so close and they would be so relaxed about it.
Yeah, it was more than what we expected.
Yes,
I would agree. It was just definitely, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to put down in words the experience we actually had.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad we did it.
Oh,
it was something, the best thing we've 100%. Done so far.
Exceeded everything.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
I was amazed by not only how close we were able to get, because I think a lot of people, you know, you see videos and there's a lot of talk around how close and how habituated wildlife is, but I was amazed by how close we were able to get, but also how completely relaxed these animals were. Not once in any situation did we ever get any sign of aggression or have an animal move away from us. If anything, you know, we were cautioned when an animal would approach, and our guide, Saidi, who we managed to stay with for all three treks, which was amazing. You know, he was always proactive in making sure that no one was blocking the way for those gorillas when they did want to move through. I couldn't believe how close we got.
Yeah, and how calm they were about it. So one of the things I really learned is the difference between habituation and the word tame. So they're really keeping them wild. And they're emphasizing that with our interactions with them. But at the same time, they have slowly gotten them used to us being there.
Yeah.
So I really benefited from learning that process and how they habituate them. And I appreciate the emphasis that they put on really taking care of us, but taking care of the gorillas.
Oh, yeah. I never really felt very, you know, I wasn't scared at any time.
No.
I think what I liked the best was to feel their emotion.
Yeah,
and how they interact with each other. They are just like humans. I mean, but sometimes you forget that they are animals, but they act just like we do, the way they act towards their little ones with each other. I mean, it was just amazing. And I guess see where we came from, honey.
Yeah, right.
Well,
our DNA is almost
there. Yeah, it's almost theirs. And, I think that really amazed me the most. I mean, because you always think of gorillas just pounding their chest.
Yeah.
But it was so much more than that. I mean,
They're gentle and loving with their families and protective.
So let's link this to just how relaxed and comfortable they are with people, as that great blue Tarraco sings his song in the background there. Our first trek, a three-week-old baby gorilla.
Wow.
And then to have heard that actually that whole session of that baby being born was captured on video with people around.
It was.
Yeah. Like there's a, that to me tells you that these animals are very comfortable with it. And we know that, you know, they've been tracked and worked with for well over 20 years. So there's a certain level of comfort that comes from that. But yeah, just seeing that 3 week old baby and having that as our first gorilla experience.
Oh, that was amazing. I mean, and I thought that was going to be the best, but every day was so different than the previous day.
It's
hard to say which day was the best day.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, they were so all different, you know, with all the different families we saw. And yeah, so I don't think there was one particularly more, you know, better than the other one.
Yeah.
And they were all very, special.
Yeah, each trek was different. And, you know, our very first trek, we drove for about an hour on some interesting roads.
Way tough roads.
Was that a road? Yeah. Sure.
Through some amazing countryside and stopped at the end of a road where we could see the forest line and, you know, in a little local community, grabbed our porters and off we went. Our second trek, kind of more into the forest proper, I would say. And then our third one actually popping out and, you know, sitting there listening to church music, which as we were trekking, I thought, oh, where are we going to find
this? I was worried about that. I said, oh my God, there could be a church in the background now.
But this is it's another great example of like a very clear boundary of forest and tea plantation and people and community and gorillas actually living and cohabituating with people on the fringes of these parks. It's
It was amazing.
But two of our treks actually showcased that for me. It was, yeah, no trek was the same in terms of the distance that we walked. I think we were quite fortunate. We didn't have anything that felt too strenuous. I know we asked Johan, he said his longest was a good 3 hour trek in then a 2 hours back out. We didn't have much. So not that we wouldn't have been up for it. It would have been well worth the exercise as well, given all the good food we've had.
Yes.
Definitely need to work some of that off.
Menachem, photographically, on a how easy, how difficult, what did you find the biggest challenges and focal lengths? Tell everyone what focal lengths.
Well, I think most of the time I think I used from 70 to 200. And the challenge is it's very busy for one thing. And especially if there's some sun coming through, it's very hard for the camera to adjust to different lighting. I took a lot of close-ups, a lot of abstract pictures.
Yes, you did.
I think the best pictures from all the times I've taken safaris.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely.
I mean, I've got really good, and thanks to
Andrew.
You know, thanks to Andrew. I mean, he was always positioning me at the right time, at the right place. And also Saidi. I mean, he was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he knew we were there to take pictures. And he would always make a spot for me.
Yeah.
And Andrew was always remind me, because I have a tendency of cutting somebody's feet down and he was always reminding me, you know, make sure you take everything in. And I was very grateful that he told me a couple of times to just put the camera down and just experience. And sometimes I know I forget about it. And all I do is take thousands of pictures and then I get home and you don't have that experience. So I think that was very important to be reminded that, you know, just live in the moment.
Yeah, I think that 70 to 200, obviously the f/2.8 for low light and focus, and you paired it with an R5. And so when you did crop or cut feet out, we found an interesting crop and we zoomed in. And we did that intentionally as well. The 24-70, we worked a couple of times just in terms of animal in environment, which I think is quite nice looking back now, you know, some Lightroom sessions.
Yeah, the good ones from 24-70.
We've got everything from the wide angle all the way to the tight abstract, full frame gorilla type shots. But difficult photography, right? I mean,
it's difficult, but I think it's doable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But 70 to 200 is absolutely the go-to out here. I was using the Canon 100 to 300, which, you know, not that much difference from the 70 to 200 and on the R1. So I didn't have as many pixels as you did for the cropping and that.
Right. I was able to crop quite a bit.
Yeah. But the autofocus systems and the eye detection
worked fine.
Yeah.
And for the most part, No, I don't think I had much problem with the focus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got some amazing pictures, I think.
And just
I'm very happy.
Going back to the comment on Saidi, you know, before anyone comes here, making that name down and thinking, cool, this is the guy that we have to go to. I was told that we should chat to a guy called Joshua because he was amazing. And so I also love that. And we had that with our trip in Mana Pools as well, where, you know, I had a great guide that I know. He was going to join us the following day. The guide that we had was amazing and we stuck with him and he was fantastic as well. So it's always great when someone says, oh, you must use this guide, but then you get someone else that's just as good.
Just as good. I think they're all pretty good.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Definitely all very good.
And would you agree that there was definitely a focus on the welfare of the animals?
Yes. Definitely. Oh, gosh. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So it wasn't ever a case of being able to do whatever you pleased in order to get a shot. And yeah.
I think they stopped us a few. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. And yeah, and they were telling us to keep the distance and make sure that we had a mask on, which is really important.
Yeah.
And I think they care for the animals. I mean, that's their livelihood.
Yeah. And so most of the time when we come to this part of the world, we stay here at Bahoma Lodge, which has been an amazing base. I mean, just to be able to walk down to that gorilla center was, where we start with the briefing and that sort of thing. Well, maybe that's a good place to start. Do you guys want to share what a typical day here is like?
Mm. Well, it starts pretty early.
With good breakfast. It's always about food here.
Yes. Start eating at 6 a.m. So it starts early. We get down there and see an amazing local dance performance.
This is at the Gorilla Center. Awesome.
Yes, every day. It's a different, correct.
Yeah, different tribe every day with their local dances. Phenomenal. High energy. Yes. Gets you going for the morning.
Yeah.
A quick briefing, a lot of instructions on how to behave out there, and then off we go.
And we get split up into our different groups.
Different groups,
right,
correct.
Right, and then we just...
There were about 9 in our group.
I think so.
Every day, pretty much.
Yeah, and so each group of 8 or 9 people would be for a particular family of gorillas that are from this area. So, for example, at least 2 families were trekked right out of this home base here, right, whereas we drove a good hour for the other one that we've trekked on the first one. So the different families, and that was obviously quite important as well, is staying in this Bahoma region is to get permits for the families that stay in this region. There was one vehicle that left very early this morning to get all the way around to Rohija, which is a different area, a different part of the park. Mm-hmm. And so then walking, trekking, finding the animals.
And so I think having the porters was really helpful.
The porters are great help.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can really be helpful.
Yes. and perhaps a little bit handsy as well.
Oh, yeah. A little bit.
They're very hands-on, let's say. They take care of their people.
Yes.
But they're extremely helpful,
really,
and they
helpful.
Definitely watch you. There were some areas, for example, going up into a little bit of steep mud, and they were super helpful about getting us up. And now they're very careful to make sure we're safe.
Yeah.
And they're carrying the bags and the water, and they're also very careful to make sure we stop and drink water, which is something I would forget otherwise.
Right.
So
I was amazed about the trackers.
Yeah, the trackers are incredible.
I mean, they hide them every day, every morning. They have to find them.
Yeah.
Stay with them for the rest of the day.
See where they nest.
See where they nest, and they go back the next day.
Yeah. It's a very slick system.
Yeah, and it is a very good
system. It
works
really well.
And then coming back to Bahoma Lodge as well, these guys are also so geared for it. I mean, just in terms of anyone listening, it's specialized gear. You don't have to worry about gaiters. It's provided for here. Walking sticks down to lunch, packed lunches with everything that you need.
I think my only problem is I gained a few calories.
You gained a few calories.
So I think we need to talk to them about that.
We've got time before we leave tomorrow. Maybe you want to get a head start and do a little bit of an early morning walk. We'll pick you up along the walk.
This lodge has been ideal. Absolutely nothing that you would need is not here.
No, yeah. And the massages every day.
Wow.
That was quite a treat,
I
think.
Definitely. Yeah.
Excellent. So overall, this is something that you would recommend for people?
Oh, definitely.
So much so. Oh, yes. And I really love
it. Because it is a big investment, right? It's a significant investment.
But it's worth it.
We get more than what we invested in, 100%. And 3 days of trekking was perfect.
I think 4 nights is the RVO way to do it.
Yeah. 3 was just ideal. and also the cultural interactions that came with the experience.
Oh, yeah.
So I was going to ask, the afternoons, obviously mainly spent at leisure or editing, but there are quite a few things around here. Today we visited the Ride for a Woman Center, which was fantastic. Yeah, was awesome. Great place to get fabrics and that sort of thing for anyone who's listening and coming here if they're looking to get fabrics and support a really good cause and baskets. And then our Batwa cultural experience, that was...
It was just something else.
The most valuable thing I'm taking home is the memory of that king.
Oh, wow. He was something else. And what they went through. I mean, it's just amazing to hear the history, you know.
So for those that don't know, the Batwa, obviously the indigenous pygmy tribe, people that lived in the forest. And then I think between 91 and 94, they were evicted and pushed and forced to live on the outskirts. And very interesting story, and certainly an experience and a kind of encounter that left a big mark on all of us, I think.
Oh, yes.
So something I would encourage. And as part of that, we wasn't quite well known to us, but we also found out how to make local coffee, literally
and banana gin.
Absolutely.
I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think it's interesting, too, that it's the emphasis on taking care of the gorillas, because all of these businesses come from the people who are
tourism that's here, right? Yeah.
So it all feeds back into, we must take care of these gorillas.
Yeah. Excellent. So to land this, your parting tip, your number one tip for anyone that's coming through to photograph gorillas and or to visit gorillas. And Menachem, I'm going to ask you to give us a photographic focus tip, and Tanya, a general tip.
Well, always travel with wild eye. That's what I have to say. Because honestly, the combination, I don't take pictures, but what I gain in conservation knowledge and in animal behavior knowledge and in people and cultural experiences cannot be taught. I take so much home from every one of these trips.
And photographically for you, Menachem?
I think you absolutely need 70 to 200 lens. And I think it's very helpful if you have two bodies, so you don't have to worry about changing lenses.
You saw me battling a little bit there, did you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But just come with no expectations and just go with the flow. I mean, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you just, it happens so fast, and just, I think just to be ready, and if you don't get anything, just enjoy.
Absolutely. Excellent. Well, thank you guys. Thanks for sharing
Andrew.
Thank you for sharing the podcast.
Plus, Andrew was just awesome. I mean, I don't know.
Yay, Andrew.
I can't emphasize that enough.
Oh, someone just fell through her chair as we're sitting here. That was a shock.
Yeah.
But she did it gracefully.
Was that something to do with me saying we're going to land or
something? Yeah, that's right.
Yes, thank you, Andrew. It was a lifetime experience that I'll never forget.
Yes, definitely.
Absolute pleasure.
And there it is. Again, if you want to get hold of Andrew@wildeye.com or just info@wildeye.com, you can find out more about our Uganda safaris and gorilla trips at wildeye.com. All of the Wild Eyes, wild-eye.com. And we look forward to sharing this experience with you. I've had the privilege of doing gorillas on a few occasions previously. It is truly, truly worthy of the bucket list status. Anyway, as always, thank you for listening. Thank you for lending me your ears. My name is Jerry. I'm from Wild Eye. Bye for now.